The founders of America said that our rights come from God. Communism says there is no God, and basically you have no rights unless the state chooses to grant you those. Alex McFarland is a Christian youth specialist who's very concerned about the growing acceptance of socialism among young American people today. McFarland warns, quote, "Let's not be foolish enough to think that an economic system with a 100% failure rate will somehow work here." Alex McFarland joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Alex, it's always great to talk with you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for the great work you do, Dr. Newcomb, and thank you for Providence Forum contributing to the restoration and the saving of our country.
Wow. Well, thank you. Yeah. Okay, so first of all, why don't we define our terms? What's the difference between communism and socialism? You may notice I referenced communism at the opening of this, and there's probably a lot of young people would say, oh, I believe in socialism, but I'm not a communist.
Well, really, socialism is historically communism light. I mean, the more that socialist programs have to be propped up with government, really government enforcement, it creates this authoritarian culture. And we've seen this time and again, but socialist cultures and countries cede power to the state, and there are political elites and increasing control by the government, loss of freedoms, and you've got a full-out communistic state that really human rights, as given by God, are gone, and government becomes God, really. And it's a closed system. There's abuse of power. There are the political elites that really exempt themselves from the same boundaries and, I would say, oppressions that are inflicted on the people. But either way, hair splitting and definitions aside, both socialism, Marxism, communism, they're incompatible with the free market economy that America has enjoyed and really has benefited so many people now for more than two centuries. They're incompatible with the United States of America.
I understand that a new NBC poll suggests that a majority of registered voters no longer approve of capitalism, with some even looking to socialism as an answer to their issues with today's consumer society, despite not knowing much about it.
Well, you know what's so sad is like Gen Z is very favorable to socialism because they believe that it will solve the prices and the problems related to like housing, healthcare, educational cost, tuition. Gen Z believes that socialism will solve wage problems, what they view as inequities in the job market. But again, what has made America great has been the free market economy, because free market economy acknowledges a couple of things that socialism ignores, one of which is human nature. Mamdani just days ago, Dr. Newcomb, talked about, one of his staff members was on record talking about confiscation from the, quote, haves and redistribution to the, quote, have-nots. And that is straight out of the playbook of Marx and Mao. But what about human incentive and human initiative? America has been able to give $1.7 trillion a year to charity, and we've been able to look after those that legitimately are indigent or have needs because our free market economy and our work ethic has produced such a surplus. But Gen Z, first of all, they have been really groomed to believe that they are due things simply for existing. And Barack Obama, we can thank him for the idea that healthcare is, quote, a human right. In other words, health insurance and medical care is, quote, a human right. Joe Biden told people that college education is, quote, a human right. AOC has said that access to high-speed Wi-Fi is a human right. She actually said that. So the Democrat left has pumped into several generations of voters the idea that the amenities of life are not to be worked for and earned, but they are just human rights that are deserved and owed. And I know, you know, Dr. Newcomb, I'm packing up to go speak and do open Q&A at East Mississippi State. And I've been on more than 175 college campuses. And I can tell you, over the last 25 years, so many young people, unless they come, you know, from at least a moral background, if not a Christian home, so many young people just believe that free college tuition, books, healthcare, you know, even cell phones are a human right that the government owes them. Yeah, I debated students from UNC Charlotte, my home state of North Carolina, and they believed, because they'd been told, that a mobile device was a human right. Whatever happened to earning things and working? And what's so sad, I'll say this, and I'll throw it back to you, Dr. Newcomb, is that socialism, far from elevating the human condition, it demeans and devalues people. I write about this in my book, The Assault on America, How to Save Our Nation Before It's Too Late, because socialism has been tried. Do you know, before 1900, socialism had been tried in 80 U.S. localities and quickly abandoned, because it's a disincentive to work. And rather than uplifting the human condition, it debases people, because among other false messages, socialism spreads the message that you can't make it without government. You're incompetent. You're inept. You're helpless. And you're not a human being with potential and capacity given by God. No, you're feeble. You're frail. You can't make it without the nanny state and the big government to help you. And so socialism dehumanizes people. But, you know, socialism is the economic viewpoint of the political party in America that's aborted millions of humans for six decades. So it's little surprise that they have no problem viewing people as expendable. See, here's a difference between conservative and liberal. Conservatives say that people are sinful and fallen, but valuable because they're made in God's image. Liberals say people are inherently good, but expendable because they're just products of a Darwinian secular universe. America is at an ideological crossroads, and the economic concerns are only part of the problem. If we want what we've had for a quarter millennia, we have to reaffirm and tolerate what gave us what we've had. And what gave us a free, safe, prosperous America was not Marxism, but a Judeo-Christian representative republic, a moral worldview, and a free market economy.
Okay, now, a few minutes ago, you mentioned AOC. That would be Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a New York City-based U.S. Congresswoman. And when she first ran in 2018, she said, because of the environment, we only have 10 years. The world will end if we don't fight climate change. And that, of course, you know, the measures to fight climate change are definitely socialistic and communistic and, you know, Marxist and so forth. So in 2 years, the 10-year mark will come. If the world isn't over in 2 years, does AOC owe the world an apology?
AOC owes the world an apology for a lot more than just her errors on climate change, but I'm not, certainly not holding my breath that we're going to get that. Let me say the climate activists, going all the way back to the 70s and people like Jerry Brown and, Ralph Nader and Paul Ehrlich, in more recent times, you know, people like Al Gore and the and Bernie Sanders and AOC herself. The climate activists owe the American people a lot of backpedaling on their claims. Dr. Newcomb, when I was in college in the late 80s in my undergrad program, my professors at the University of North Carolina said that because of Ronald Reagan, Reagan and his trickle-down economics was going to end the human race within a decade. The Atlantic.com, on the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, several years ago, I believe it would have either been 21 or 22, I think 22, but the Atlantic.com said, and I quote, that Paul Ehrlich have for 50 years been wrong on climate predictions, not only wrong, but spectacularly wrong. And right now, I was just as prepping for my time with you, Dr. Newcomb, I was reading about how EV sales are plummeting. Ford Motor Company has lost $13 billion on their Ford F-150 Lightning pickup that was to be the crown jewel of their EV fleet. And they're as hard as they can re-establishing gasoline-powered vehicles. So is Stellantis, Chrysler, Dodge. They've lost money. The Stellantis, Chrysler, Dodge EVs have sat on dealer lots for over a year. And so they're retrofitting these cars with gas engines. But the important thing is this, that EVs are worse for the environment than gas-powered vehicles. The limited range, the unreliability, part of the push for EVs and the EV mandates that thank God.
The electronic vehicles, uh-huh.
Yeah, the electronic vehicle mandates. Donald Trump in January of 25, when he was inaugurated, he said that he would roll back the EV mandates so that, quote, the American consumers can purchase the cars that they want. But the limited range, and especially in summer and winter, it was all a ruse to try to limit the mobility of the comings and goings of the American people. EVs, for those that do care about the climate, and I do, I certainly don't want to harm the climate, but climate change since the 60s, really, the cries of the environment is unraveling and we only have 10 years to save the planet, 5 years. It was all a ruse, smoke and mirrors to try to take away liberty, a free market economy, and impose Marxist controls. We're not running out of oil. The air is not getting dirtier. It's getting cleaner. And EVs are worse with their heavy metals. And I can prove it because Dr. Newcomb, just a couple of miles from where I sit, Toyota has built a $14 billion battery plant in Liberty, North Carolina. You can Google it. It was said to produce 5,100 jobs.
We have about 20 seconds left. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. Toyota, several years ago, preemptively paid the state of North Carolina for the groundwater accident that they knew was going to happen. It hasn't happened, but it's just a given that EVs and the metals for the batteries and the plastics, if you want to contribute to the helping of the environment, buy a traditional automobile, not an EV. Their carbon footprint is far worse.
All right, we're basically out of time. AlexMcFarland.com is your website. Alex, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
God bless you. God bless America.
You too. Thank you now. God bless. Bye-bye. Thanks.